I am Andy Budnick. I am known as the King of the City. I am a comic artist here from Grand Rapids, and I am close personal friends, and maybe the original close personal friend of Court of Nerds.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of Court of Nerds, the only podcast that spent all day watching Doc McStuffins. I'm Drew.
I'm John.
And our guest tonight is Gavin from Tardy's Collector's Corner.
Hi, guys.
We love it when Gavin and Dee can stop by, and they love it when you stop by their shop, and you can stop by and see them at Grand Rapids Comic-Con this year.
Hell yeah, same place, same time, right in the front. Come say hi, get a high five.
They get that primo spot, you know, because they know people.
We're doing grab bags again. And we're going to put something really freaking cool in it. I think it might be a Batman Adventures 12, possibly.
What?
We're going to be giving away some big books this year, so.
Well, that would make sense. Batman Adventures with that Batman the Animated Series cast reunion going on there.
Fucking Vulcan Mind Med with us.
That's how we do it.
That's right.
Now, Gavin and Dee were out at San Diego Comic-Con. They had kind of the firsthand experience. You had a really interesting encounter with Scott Snyder that I need to hear about.
Scott Snyder, this was one of my favorites because we've known Scott Snyder for a long time.
We're going to get into it.
Yeah.
We're going to get into it. We wanted to start with a little bit of the news, just a little bit of the news, not a whole lot, because we can ramble with Gavin forever. But I wanted to hit on this Make Mine Milkshake thing that you guys are probably seeing on Twitter or have caught on Twitter over the past few days or so. So to give you guys the story, if you don't know it, Heather Antos is an editor for Marvel Comics. She edits books like Gwenpool and, John, one of your favorites, Poe Dameron. She is very active on Twitter. I kind of think that she's great on Twitter. I've checked out her Twitter feed after this, and I was like, wow, I'm going to follow this human.
Sure.
She tweeted out, it's the Marvel Milkshake crew. And it's her, and it looks like six other women in the shot, various Marvel writers, various, you know, just people who work at Marvel.
Normal things that you would do.
She woke up the next morning to a slew of garbage tweets and DMs from people harassing her for being a woman in comics.
Like, what the fuck is people's problem? Honestly, I read that and I'm like, oh, milkshake, that's funny. And I opened up the link and I'm like, oh, people are garbage people and I hate everyone. That makes sense. Yeah, that the day is the same as yesterday.
2017.
That's one person said, can we just get off of feminism and social justice and print stories? Someone else said, I can't imagine why Marvel's sales are in the toilet.
What the fuck?
Is that Marvel's sales are in the toilet? Because they're putting out some fairly garbagey books.
It's because they're putting out, three Black Panther titles. It's because they're putting out, like, four Doctor Strange titles.
Everything else has something Gwen in it. Gwenpool, Gwenom.
You get a reboot. You get a reboot.
You get a Gwen Stacy. You get a Gwen Stacy.
Does Oprah work at Marvel?
Marvel Legacies!
I'm totally fucking reading that if Oprah's approving.
If it's on the Oprah Book Club list, that might be the only fucking way I'm interested in Marvel Legacy.
Marvel Legacy and O Magazine.
Let's be honest here, okay? But Antos went on to tweet, how dare I post a picture of my friends on the internet without expecting to be bullied, insulted, harassed, and targeted. Now, the only cool thing to come out of this, and possibly the coolest thing, has been the slew of support and love from the comic industry and the original artwork that people are creating.
It's fucking amazing.
Yeah, it's if you want to search it on Twitter, hashtag MakeMineMilkshake has been trending. It is phenomenal. Marvel went so far as to tweet an old panel with Madame Hydra having a milkshake. And it just says, some people harbor the most terrible grudges. So, again, to all of you being douchebags on the internet, hating on a woman for having milkshakes with her friends just because she works for a comic book company, go fuck yourselves.
Go fuck yourself. Like, that's all there is to it.
From us to you. Like, enjoy the special place in hell that's reserved for you.
I feel really lucky because I work at a comic book. Well, we own a comic book store. And, like, so my worldview is very slanted because I don't spend a ton of, I don't get pulled into the internet hate.
No.
And most people that come into the shop, I don't hear the, women should stay at a comic book shops and stuff. We don't have that attitude. My wife works with me every single day. One of our friends is starting a couple of days a week, and she's been one of our best friends since high school. And so everyone's very supportive, and, like, all I see is that. So then when I see these tweets, I'm like, where the fuck did these garbage people from another dimension come from?
Like, I've brought people into your store and introduced them to you guys because I know it's a safe place for people who love comic books.
Yes.
Vault of Midnight down here in downtown is the same way.
Right.
You know, I think most comic shops I've been in West Michigan operate in that way, that this is a safe place to come and talk about comic books.
As well it should be. I mean, like, I don't understand the boys club thing or whatever, where it's like women should have no place in comics. Fuck you. You know, you look at, I mean, there's amazing talent out there.
Yeah.
One of my favorites right now is Lady Killer, Joelle Jones.
Yep.
She is fantastic writer, fantastic artist. She is amazing all the way across the board. You know, like, what the hell's people's problems?
I mean, dude, Jordy Belair.
Yes. Yes, exactly.
Jordy has won how many fucking Eisners at this point? It's like, if you can't accept that the comic industry having women in it is important.
Right.
And good.
Yes.
Like, I don't know what to tell you. If you're not on board with this, get out of here.
Yeah.
Go. And this was, Kari Andrews had my favorite post yesterday about this.
Yeah.
Posted quotes from Stan Lee.
Yeah.
Stan Lee said, it wasn't a huge deal to me. It was a very normal, natural thing. A good many of our people here in America are not white. You've got to recognize that, and you've got to include them in whatever you do. If my books and my stories can change that, can make people realize that everyone should be equal, that and treated that way, then I think it would be a better world. Stan fucking Lee.
Boom. Out the gate.
Like, drop the mic. Walk out the room. Go home.
Yes.
Go home. Quit the internet.
Exactly.
Because you've lost.
Yes.
And John, you wanted to talk about a Star Wars thing.
A Star Wars?
A Star Wars well, from John.
Not, it's not really a Star Wars thing. It was more or less your opinion on what Hollywood has done since Star Wars in 1977 changed the industry. Because you have movies like the Emoji Movie, which surprisingly did make $25 million. But comparative to Cars 3, or it beat Atomic Blonde.
Damn.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it's real sad. But compared to, like, Despicable Me 3, a movie that made a ton of money, that's the third in an installment, like, what's your opinion on what everybody's doing with franchises? Is it just a cash grab for toys? Is it a thing like Valerian we were talking about earlier, how it's got backed by a bunch of books that have come out?
Yeah,
20 volumes. Has,
you have all
volumes.
That, all those people backing it, or that have, that know the series, but they just don't come out for it. And companies like Disney are just pumping out Toy Story 4s and Car 3s and Incredibles 2 because they know that the people are going to come out in droves to watch them.
This
and
is
it's all about money.
This is how Michael Bay has stayed in work this entire time.
Transformers 5.
Every single time there's a Transformers movie, they can relaunch all those characters with all new toys. They have a set amount of audience that you know. They're like, well, I saw 1 through 4. I better see 5. They get some, I don't know how they keep getting these big names in Hollywood to like sign in on those movies. Kelsey Grammer and Anthony Hopkins was in the last one. The fuck? Anthony Hopkins? Are you shitting me? Like, Sir Anthony Hopkins was in this shit?
Getting paid, though.
True, you know? But that's, they know they can afford those kind of names because those same people are going to go see those movies every single time.
Does it change the toy industry at all? Like, the drowning out? Like, because you have, like, you have customers that come in and specifically buy those box sets for all 6 characters, and then the one that you can build, and you need all 6 to
right.
build that 7th character. Like, does it drown it out? Are people not coming and buying those anymore because they know that there's going to be another box set in a couple months because something else is going to come out
no.
that they need to go buy?
It doesn't. For the stuff that we sell, it doesn't stop it. You know, like, Despicable Me, like, that's not our crowd.
No.
But, like, for, like, Marvel Legends, where they have the Build-A-Figures and stuff, and, like,
oh, God.
DC Multiverse, those people, every single time. Like, I got off the plane from San Diego at 3:00 in the morning. I turned my phone back on from airplane mode, and I'll bet you I had no less than a dozen messages. Hey, what Marvel Legends did you get? Hey, I know the set's coming out in stores, because basically, like, half the set's going to be in the next wave. There's going to be a female Thor. There's going to be a Thor Odinson. There's another one that they're going to release that were San Diego exclusives. They're just going to be a little bit different, but they want that box set. And I mean, like, I kind of can't blame them because the box set looks better. You know, the Thor Odinson, this is going to sound very sexy.
Good. Sound good. As sexy as possible.
Sexy show.
Sexy times.
There was
Gavin.
Thor Odinson with no shirt on and only wearing a cape with a scruffled beard, and it made my nipples erect.
I think that might be the first time we've said erect on this show since the evil, awful sex show that we never refer to ever. When we got super dirty with Andy.
Oh, yeah. Episode 50, if you want to go back and listen.
If you guys ever want to go back and listen to one of the nastiest podcasts we've ever done, we brought in King of the City, Andy Budnick, to relive he and Grant's days as line cooks.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. Oh, dude. I mean, the term battle wang was used repeatedly.
Oh, my God.
Like, Shazam!
Oh, I was a 13-year-old girl once.
You have
like
to
that.
Listen to that
oh,
to get that
so
joke.
It's so bad. It's so bad. Oh, Emily, I miss you, and I am sad. This oh man, that was I don't want to think about that much longer. Let's move on.
Which by the way, Andy's one of those people that has a box set sitting at my store right now.
I bet he does.
Oh yeah,
I know he does.
He is not only king of the city but king of toys. 100% absolutely.
Is that why he always is doing drawings at all of your events to pay off what he owes you?
That's right, absolutely. I keep him shackled there. He can't leave.
Like, you better draw that picture.
That's right, he's a father, he has a full-time job, and he's an indentured servant at Tardis.
You listen here, fucker, you draw that fancy Deadpool on that goddamn Tauntaun.
You draw him, you put a monocle on him.
You do it now for $5.
This is still my favorite thing ever.
If y'all see Andy Budnick out anywhere, please buy artwork from him. He's so damn good.
He's so talented, and it's really reasonably priced. You're like, are you kidding? For $5? And he's like, yup.
There are so many great artists in this city that I think should be working on a national level.
Seriously.
And I mean, and some of them are starting to. Scott Weigman's with his Guar cover. You know, yeah, like, what a great dude. But Andy is one of those guys who I legitimately believe if he didn't have a family that depended on him for income,
oh, yeah,
would be a comic book artist because they don't make enough money to provide for families.
Seriously.
Who like food.
And if you see Andy in the streets, call him King.
Yes,
no,
please.
No. Hold on. Andy in the streets, King in the sheets, okay?
That's right.
Whatever, either way.
Boom.
Call him King.
Call him King.
And just watch the smile.
Dude, it's almost like a fucking heel turn in wrestling. It's like he grabbed the steel chair and he's like, oh, that's right, I am the king. He answers to it, though. That's my favorite thing. He answers to it.
That's right.
Like, if you say, hey, King in the streets, he will turn and go, oh, hey, what's up?
Hey, it's me.
He's probably got his Starbucks in his hand, wearing a nice sweater, collared shirt combo. Mm.
He's not as pretentious to get it on a t-shirt, but he's got an enamel pin that says King with a crown on his shirt.
Oh,
boom.
I will crown you. All right.
Let's talk San Diego Comic-Con.
Oh, please.
It is on a bucket list for so many nerds, and yet, Gavin, you get to live it every year, my friend.
Holy shit. And it just keeps getting crazier, and people get more intense every year. It is insane. I mean, the lines... This year, people were on their game. Like, usually, you can roll up, and it's like, okay, for instance, because we all have a deep love for Legos.
We do.
The minifig blind thing. They had a Duckpool. And they had a Vixen for DC. Literally, we got in line 2 hours early. That's usually plenty. You're usually, like, the first 10 or 15th in line if you get in line 2 hours early. We were so far back that we didn't even get a chance for it. 2 hours early. At 5 hours early, people were lining up for this fucker already.
Jesus.
People are just on top of it, you know? I mean, not to say that we didn't get stuff and had a good time, but man, people were intense this year.
Do you think it has a lot to do with how, like, in years past, they've done a good job communicating what's going to happen when via social media, but I think that schedule was out this year earlier than I think it's ever been.
For as far as, like
times when things were going on sale.
That stuff was, but... Like, okay, the Lego exclusives announced Thursday of Comic-Con, they announced, like, the Duckpool wasn't even announced until Comic-Con started.
See, but that's the thing, though. It doesn't matter what it was going to be,
right?
Probably.
Absolutely.
At that point. It could have been anything, and people are going to be like, I need it.
Yeah, absolutely. The other insane line that I saw that was just mind-boggling was, I love Funko Pops. Funko's the shit. They had some really cool ones on their off-site pop-up store. You didn't have to have San Diego tickets to get in. Therefore, everybody was trying to get in. It opened at 10 o'clock Thursday morning. The line started at 1 o'clock in the morning Tuesday. So people literally slept on the ground, not in the grass, not by the convention center, on the ground out in the middle of San Diego for 2 days to buy these exclusives. And the line just kept on rolling over when they hit allotment.
Well, I was going to say, and I saw D posting about like the Walking Dead thing where like the cast of the Walking Dead showed up at their booth and it was so crazy. Police had to come in and shut it down. Basically, the fire marshals came in and were like, everyone has to leave.
Yes. Fire marshals showed up, shut it down. The walls of the booth kind of folded in on itself because they shut down the exhibit because it got pretty fucking crazy. Like D ran up in the crowd and took some pictures and stuff and bounced out. By the time she was out and we looked back, there were people like throwing themselves like crowd surfing to try and get close to the booth.
Oh my God.
It was insanity. I'm like, no, you can see those people on TV all the time. Like, it's fine. That's what they look like.
They still look the same. Props to D for being like a stealthy fucking ninja out there.
Well, what was it for though? Was it just for the panel?
No, it wasn't for anything. They showed up at their booth and were waving at people on their
channel. Oh, that was it?
That was it.
That's
what was so crazy. But it was a random, right? It wasn't planned. They just decided.
Okay.
They used to do that all the time, like Star Wars used to do this all the time at Comic-Con, just wander over to their booth and be like, oh, hey guys, what's up?
Right.
And yeah, there'd be a flood of people, but not an insane, like, I haven't seen any final numbers. Was this, in your estimation, the biggest one that's happened?
I mean, it's always this, I think it's stuck at 130,000 is turnout. Like, that's what they can sell for tickets.
That's capacity every day, all weekend.
Right. At the convention center, though. But then you leave the convention center and there's a dozen things on either side. If you turn left or right, there's a dozen things that you can go to. If you go straight, there's a dozen things you can go to. So I would say the number in San Diego is probably closer to 200,000 people who show up for this thing that don't have tickets. I mean, they flood the streets, you know? I mean, you can't move anywhere.
That's insane. Now, somewhere you guys did get to move, and we're going to get to this story about Gavin and Scott Snyder, because I'm somehow involved in this, but you guys got to do another thing that's been on my bucket list, God, since I was allowed to stay up late at night. You guys got to go to Conan.
Oh my God, Conan was amazing. I really, really enjoyed Conan.
You guys were there for the Game of Thrones episode.
Right, which in my opinion was like the best one to be there
for. It was. I watched all of them.
Yes. Did you guys see TJ Miller on there too?
Yeah.
Holy shit. God, that was great.
Yeah.
I was so excited.
He was the Iron Throne, John.
Yes.
I love TJ Miller.
He was amazing. I just wanted to go down and hug him, but I was on the third floor. Not happening. So...
But it was, I mean, that's a cool experience, right? I mean, he does these special shows because Conan, in my head, Conan's one of us.
Yes, absolutely.
Like, he loves this crap as much as we do.
I'd say that was my high point of the convention. It was definitely top five, but I would say, honestly, that was the high point of the convention because it was like an hour and a half of just high energy fun. And all the commercial breaks, before the show starts, the band is playing and getting the crowd pumped up, get you on your feet. Every commercial break, there's bands playing and there's people coming in and out, and you know, Conan's talking to the crowd, running out, taking pictures with people and shit. And then at the end of it, it cuts feed and Conan sings a song about it's like I don't remember the lyrics, but it was like, this is my dumbass song that I sing for only me and us because everybody's gone, but I don't care because it's what I want to sing for everybody, you know? So he sings this random ass, and it's not in pitch or anything. It's just more like a revival-esque type song, you know? But it's badass, you know? I'm like, yeah,
O'Brien is serenading me.
Boom, it's amazing.
I got a tingle in my pants part.
Look at that giant wafty ginger.
Look at him. Look at that pompadour.
Oh, my Lord.
I just want to put it in my mouth like cotton candy.
He's Ben size.
Yeah. He is the size of our own Ben Raven.
Yeah.
Except less muscular.
That's so Raven. Yes.
Yeah. By the way, big congrats to Ben Raven. Big news coming from him soon. So
yeah,
really excited. I don't want to spoil the announce. That's his announce.
That comes on his podcast.
But I am so fucking excited for that guy. It's ridiculous. We'll tell you guys off the record. But
yeah.
Big stuff happening for Braven the Hunter. Very, very excited for that motherfucker. So Scott Snyder, what is this? You were messaging me about this.
So. We most recently, and I just handed you guys a couple, we made Tardy's enamel pins for our last anniversary. We missed it by the day that we actually had it, but we had enamel pins made up, and they're funky as hell looking. They're orange glitter. They're cool as shit, you know, because we're an old shop, you know. Our pins look old. And Scott has always been super cool with us. We met Scott when he was just coming out with American Vampire.
Okay.
American Vampire and just starting on Detective Black Mirror. So, relatively unknown name. And he sat and shot the shit with us for, I'd say, a good hour. Just hung out with us, had a good time, took a shit ton of pictures. Really nice guy. And so every single time he sees us, he remembers us. But every time it's diminishing returns. So like he'll remember us and he remembers that he likes us, but he doesn't remember any of the context with us. This is kind of where we're at now. So I saw him doing a signing at DC, and it was busy, but it wasn't to the point where it was crazy because they wristband things and you have to have a wristband. So security was being cool, didn't chase me away, and I'm like, hey, I just want to. So I lean over to Scott. And I go, hey, Scott, what's going on? And he sees me and he recognizes me, but I'm also wearing a Court of Nerds t-shirt because why wouldn't you represent in San Diego? I mean, the fucking Woo! Mecca, absolutely. So you guys were represented on the floor and just mistook myself for Drew because he knew me, and then he saw the Court of Nerds thing. And he's like, yeah, man, totally. When metal comes out, I'll make sure and get an email to you guys and make sure and get on your show again, and we'll do a long interview like we did the time before.
Thanks.
So
Gavin's booking the show for us now.
Gavin's booking the show.
So, you know, I'm trying to get Snyder on, you know, like, inadvertently. I'm pretty sure he's going to get a hold of you. He seemed very excited for the fact. So,
dude, well, and that's the thing. And if we haven't said it enough on this podcast about Scott Snyder, about Tom King, about these DC writers, I mean Sam Humphries as well, these guys are so into doing the podcast scene.
Yes.
Like, and I'm not saying, hey, if you have a podcast, randomly request them, but if you see them out in public, they're gonna talk to you. They want to talk to you about their craft. I mean, when we had Snyder on, you know, he's out in Cali, so he was on Cali time, didn't realize it was 2 a.m. while he was talking to us here. And he would have talked to us till 5.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
He didn't care. He was all about, I mean, and is talking to us about basing Batman on things his kids are scared of, and right. Like just legitimately just talking like as somebody who loves the craft to someone who loves his creation.
Absolutely.
So,
you know who else was really cool that I got to meet out in San Diego that was very much the same? I got to meet John Boy.
Really?
Yeah. So I walked by his booth and I'm like, oh shit, what's going on, man? And just kind of told him how much a fan I am of his artwork and stuff. And somebody came up and approached him about, they were talking to about booking him at some show. I think it was a Wizard World or something like that. And so I was like, all right, well, he's busy with somebody else. I'm going to walk off. And I go to walk off. I'm like, all right, man, well, have a good one. And he goes, wait a minute, you're going? And I'm like, yeah, man, I thought you had. And he's like, no. If you got a little bit more time, like, I love talking to retailers and I love to get the feedback of how things are going. Could you sit and just BS with me for a little bit longer? And I'm like, of course I can, John Boy, for sure, dude.
Oh, you want me to stay?
Yeah, right.
I'd be begging you usually.
Yeah, oh my God, absolutely you can. So we sat and BS with him for a little bit longer. And he's another one that's just completely nice guy. We'll sit and talk about comic books until the cows come home. I mean, like, forever. So, good shit.
Dude, that's awesome. What else about, I guess, the San Diego Comic-Con experience is different from any other con that you guys go to? Because you guys are all over the place.
Yeah. Well, it is literally different than anything else for a convention that you've been to. I mean, you can liken it kind of, I guess, to New York Comic-Con and kind of to C2E2. But the big deal of it is everybody, this is World Series of Comic-Cons. So everybody that comes out to these shows are be ready for them to be as intense as you are. If that means like sleeping on the ground for a full 24 hours is almost like an afterthought. Like, oh,
it's just so, like a thing you do.
It's just a thing that you do. It's not even like, oh, well, we booked a hotel room and it cost us $400 a night, but I'm going to sleep on the ground so I can be the first one in to get that exclusive or that panel or that signing. Because that's the other thing that's really cool. All the signings there, I mean, there's certain signings that cost you money, but for the most part, any of the signings that people are lining up for, they're free, and you get to meet the entire cast. So, for instance, we didn't get there for, like, the Supernatural cast signing, but we did get there for Justice League Action. Like, we got in line for Supernatural, they ran out, we got Justice League Action instead. I was like, what the hell? We'll see who's going to be at the signing. I go up, fucking Dietrich Bader was there.
From
Drew Carey, and he was the nicest fucking guy ever.
Is he? He's doing Batman in that, right?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, because he was Batman in Brave and the Bold as well.
Right, yeah. And just very nice set, and the nice thing about it is you're meeting the entire cast. And then they can't rush you through as much as, like, if you pay to meet somebody, they're like, all right, well, you've had your handshake, move along. They have to wait until you're through. So there's people in front of you. So you get to actually sit and interact with the person for a minute or two. We got to meet him. And then we went to the Lego Scooby-Doo signing. And Matthew Lillard was there. So we got to sit and BS with Matthew Lillard for a while. And he was a really nice guy, too. So I had no clue he was from Detroit.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
That's awesome.
So it's totally different than anything else that you're experiencing. All the big thing that's there is they have freebies. This has kind of gone the way of the dodo for like a lot of conventions. Is you used to go, say a weekend ticket was $50. You would get probably $150 in free swag from movie companies, comic book companies, whatever. We've all kind of noticed that that's just gone away. That they're kind of like, all right, well, we're done giving you free things because you're going to be here anyway. In San Diego, there's awesome freebies at all times and weird, like, connecting things that you got to come back multiple days. Like, for instance, there was a Marvel Infinity War poster, but it was three posters. So you get one each day, and they work well as a poster for one. But if you get all three, it's a connecting one, like a giant fucking puzzle. And it's got Thanos at the end giving you the big old Infinity Gauntlet. It's just cool shit.
Oh, man.
So they still do that kind of stuff.
They still do that kind of stuff.
That's awesome.
Absolutely.
We got to get Mark to start doing more of that for Grand Rapids Comic Con. Get us a bunch of free shit.
Yes. Come on, Mark. Get us some free shit.
Come on, Mark.
God.
Mark will actually be joining us August 15th along with one of his lieutenants, our old friend B-Stick, coming back on the show.
Ooh-wee.
So we're going to have a fun time then, catch up with them. Because I've got you here, there's some incredible books coming out. I'm sure there was some cool news at San Diego Comic Con.
Yes.
But I want to talk about two, and again, it just seems like the only things getting my dick hard lately have been DC.
I'm with you, man. I'm with you.
Mr. Miracle is next week.
Oh, new Tom King.
How big are your pre-orders for that, man? A lot of people into that book already?
Fairly sizable. And I don't think it would be nearly as much if I hadn't, like, shoved Vision down so many people's throats. I'm like, no, you will read this. You will read it, and you will love it as I love it, because it's the best fucking thing ever.
It's Tom motherfucking King. And now he's working with Mitch again, Mitch Sherrod, who he works with on Sheriff of Babylon, which if you haven't read it, pick up the individual issues because there's a quote about us on one of the covers.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, look, Tom King is doing right now what Scott Snyder did.
Yes.
He's absolutely just ascending, you know, from indie publishing into this stratosphere of elite creators.
Absolutely. And he just keeps on moving ahead. I mean, like, everything, it helps because everything that he keeps on coming out with is just kind of genius storytelling. You're like, yeah.
Fuck yeah, yeah. I want to read that. I want to read how you're going to do that. And then 2 weeks, I think it's a week after that, is the launch of DC Metal.
Yes. And Metal is insane. I mean, the pre-orders for that book is bonkers. I mean, we're getting all of the bells and whistles that come with it, the midnight release stuff, and we're not going to do a midnight release because we're not crazy, but we're going to have all the midnight release stuff there. We'll have all the exclusive stuff that go along with it. Batman Metal, it's beyond words how geeked I am for this.
Now, I heard a rumor that they're limiting or doing very few, if any, variant covers for Metal.
See, I read that too, but they're doing like four variant covers. And I mean, they're all open order, so you can order what you want, but there are four covers.
Maybe that's what they're doing, is the open order thing, so you don't have to order, like, because normally, you know, and we're going to step in behind the curtain a little bit here.
Please.
Do a little inside baseball. Normally, you have to order X number of covers to get one variant cover.
Correct. And that's why I think that a lot of people don't understand that. I'm glad you brought it up, because I have no problems explaining this all the time.
Yeah.
It's one thing when it's, okay, say you have to order 25 copies of X to get the Y variant. You get one copy of the Y variant if you order 25 copies. Everybody knows what's going on. Most of the customers get it. Okay, you had to order 25. It's 25 to 1 ratio in the world of these books. Makes perfect sense to everybody. The problem is when it becomes exceed 125% of this book that you order that has nothing to do with this book that you're trying to order in order to get this variant. But you can order as many of those variants as you want, but people might not want those variants. And if they do want those variants, they're not going to pay anything more for them.
It's ridiculous.
I get stuck with a bunch of Lando variants.
You get stuck with a bunch of just everything variants. And I try.
No hate on the Lando variants. Damn. Just saying.
Mic dropped.
This is the one that came to mind.
That's right. And, you know, I mean, like, I try and get as many variants as I can for customers, but it does get kind of frustrating because literally there's hoops to jump through every month, and there's increasingly tighter hoops every month. Because if you exceed 125% on this, the next month they're going to expect you exceed 100%, 125% of that number. So it just kind of keeps on snowballing to the point where it's just like, well, I can't get any variants this month. We're done. So,
dude, that's ridiculous. What else did you see at Comic-Con that's coming down the pipes that we should be excited about? Anything new? Anything noteworthy?
The new DC, I don't know if you guys saw the, if Marvel's not going to do a Fantastic Four book, DC's going to do a Fantastic Four book.
What?
The Terrifics, I want to say.
Oh, I did see that. Yeah,
Lemire's writing
it? Grant was already talking about how he intends to order it and buy it, and I'm sure it's Grant, so he won't actually end up doing any of those things.
Yes, absolutely.
But the cast for that looks incredible. The cast of characters for it. And again, Lemire, what are you going to you're not gonna go wrong. The guy writes genius stuff.
It's Lemire and Ivan Race. So yes,
that's a killer team.
Yes, I'm like, yes, I will definitely get this. I was gonna pull up the team. I don't remember who I was gonna be on it. I think it's Plastic Man, Metamorpho. It looks fantastic, though. I mean, that got me pretty geeked. Batman White Knight. Have you guys heard anything about that?
I saw, you know what? Jock was tweeting out some picture he was working on for that.
Yes, the new Sean Murphy thing that's dropping, where what if Joker was the hero and Batman was the villain in DC?
Ah, oh, see, I love that. Yeah. I love when they do
you
that.
Love the what if backwards
stuff.
Elseworlds stuff is awesome. I mean, like,
see, this dark matter that's coming, that's part of that metal thing, right?
Dark matter is another thing. Well, that's going to be almost all artist-driven. So basically, we heard about this at C2E2. I don't remember if we talked about this last time. But DiDio is basically going, you guys are doing really good work, all the artists. I mean, Jim Lee, John Romita, Andy Kubert, and Greg Capullo are spearheading Dark Matter. So huge names. And he's like, you guys have been doing fantastic work. We're going to go hands-off on this. You guys decide what you're going to work on. If you want to make a bunch of original new characters, here's your platform to do it. And that's what Dark Matter is. And so they're working on incorporating new characters that aren't just, you know, the characters that have been around since the 60s. I still love those characters, but it'd be cool to see some new people show up, too. You know, so I'm very interested to see what rolls out of this.
A lot of cool stuff coming out from DC. We're still waiting for Marvel. Like, Marvel, you have so many great characters, and you still have great creators at Marvel.
Yes.
You just have to let them create instead of cramming terrible events down their throats that your worst creators think of.
Well, more Venom. No, more Venom.
But all the Venom. That was the last. When we got the day we got back from San Diego, our diamond orders were due, and I'm going through the Marvel catalog, and I'm like, Venomized variants again? Like, you just did this 2 months ago, and apparently it was successful enough that they're like, yes, Venomized variants again. So,
like, I mean, is Secret Wars selling for anyone?
I mean, it's selling okay, but I mean,
sorry, not Secret. What's the new one they're doing?
Secret Empire.
Secret Empire. I'm sorry, I get confused because your fucking events sound the same.
It's selling. I mean, like, it's selling okay. It's not.
But it's not selling because it's good. It's selling because it's the people who are doing, make mine Marvel. I'm a Marvel guy.
Correct.
Not exactly. Actually looking at the quality of the books.
Well, I've heard a couple of people. I've heard more than a couple of people say that they dig it. And I'm not reading it, so I can't really speak on it. But, I mean, it seems like it's overwhelmingly people that don't like it. But I've heard a lot of people that it's like, well, I gave it a chance and I really dug it. I'm like, all right, well, cool. But it just seems like, I mean, like anything that DC's selling, for at least our store, DC is outselling Marvel like 2-1. It's kind of insane.
I mean, like here's an article from June from CBR. The 15 most what the fuck moments from Secret Empire so far. And that was in June.
Yeah, there's 7 issues out so far and there's 2 more still. Well, spoilers, anybody that hasn't read it or wants to read it, spoilers. Black Widow dies in the last issue.
Right, like Captain America is running around killing off Avengers.
Yes, just, and I mean, it was kind of brutal, like stuck his shield down her neck and like it did the whole Batman Arkham City and Arkham Asylum where it showed the like neck bone snap and It was pretty devastating.
Is this still Hydra Cap?
Yes.
It's still Hydra Cap.
Jesus.
Supposedly this is as soon as it's done, this is going to be it, and it'll be, by the time this is wrapped up, everything's going to be back to normal. So we'll see where that goes.
I didn't think it was supposed to go back to normal. I thought, this is the way it is now. He is Hydra Agent.
Well, you know, until they see...
we're losing money. Make him good again.
Until Disney wraps.
Put a beard on him.
Hold on a second. We're getting fucked on this. Hold on a second. We need to turn this around. All-American boy again.
Oh, God.
We denounce Nick Spencer.
They keep killing everyone. Like, everyone.
Well, and Bruce Banner's already back. They killed him off in the last event. Hawkeye put an arrow through his face so that he didn't Hulk out, because like he was on the opposite side of that Civil War II or whatever. He put an arrow in the Hulk's face, in Bruce Banner's face, and then got arrested. He's like, all right, arrest me.
But there's like all this shit that I keep seeing, like, oh, and they did an alternate dimension, different Steve Rogers, who's old and beardy. So you old man Logan, Captain America, you pieces of shit, are you out of original ideas at the House of Mouse?
Stop taking Mark Millar's ideas.
Listen, do me a fucking favor. Go call Darren Nefcy, who does Star vs. the Forces of Evil. She works for the same company and is writing better stories than you.
Devastating.
Well, how about this, though? Just a little devil's advocate.
Oh, play.
Devil's avocado. Because
baby, play.
Just hear me out.
No, I'm hearing you.
You got all this Marvel hate on. You're pushing, what, 3 Black Panther titles?
Yes.
You're pushing however many titles of this, all the Venom stuff that's going on. How many Batmans are out right now?
Oh, you're right.
And nobody says a damn thing.
Do you know why?
Because they're good.
They're fucking good.
Fucking good.
That's the difference.
You're right. Absolutely.
Because DC did what Marvel failed to do. Like, remember, Marvel had Tom King first.
Yes.
Marvel had Tom King.
You let that dude walk.
They let him walk. And they canceled his book.
Yes.
Which was a critical hit.
Amazing.
I mean, like, legit, everyone, every fucking comic fan on the planet loves Tom King's Vision run.
Yes.
Loves it. Worships it. I'm pretty sure Grant still uses it to finish.
Oh, yeah.
But
yeah,
that's Grant.
It's always the two fingers up the ass Tom King.
Yeah. I mean,
that's what he refers to it as.
Son of a bitch. But, you know, Marvel had Sam Humphries first, too, didn't they?
I believe so. I'm not
Who then signed an exclusive deal with DC. What DC did was something that Marvel Comics can't do with that douchebag Perlmutter in charge. And I hope he hears this. I hope fucking Ike Perlmutter hears this and hears me call him a piece of shit. That dude ruined Marvel Comics. He had the best stable of fucking talent on the planet and let them all leave.
Yeah?
Let them all leave. Is Hickman even writing for Marvel anymore?
No.
The architect behind the biggest mindfuck.
Yeah.
Like a 15-year planned mindfuck.
It's pretty fucked up.
And it's so good. Hickman got us all.
It's not like they left and went to, you know, Valiant or Image. They went straight to the enemy.
They went straight to the other guy.
Well,
Hickman, that's like the Can You Hear Me Now guy who's doing the Sprint commercial.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like the fourth ingredient in a Chopped basket. Just because fuck you, man.
Yeah.
Well, so Fraction and Hickman left for Image, for sure. But yeah, I mean, a lot of people... Honestly, this is my thing with Marvel.
But Hickman, you know why Hickman left for Image?
Yeah.
To have control.
Yeah,
he wanted control over his property, which he had under the previous Marvel regime.
Right.
He had that control to make the stories that he wanted, to do a 15-year slow burn on the whole fucking world.
It was fucking crazy.
It was beautiful and brilliant. Like... That's the thing I think Perlmutter doesn't understand. He's going for instant results.
Oh, yeah.
Now Cap's a fucking Nazi. Right. Ah!
Take that.
Gotcha! Well,
I feel like they were like, okay, well, DC's doing books once every 2 weeks. Well, let's make it everything's instant at Marvel, too. Let's do that. It's like, no. You guys already have plans in place. Like, don't just stop that.
And, like, doing series as Comixology exclusives, like, I get what you're trying to do.
Yeah.
But you're being too hip for the room,
yes.
Man. You're not reading your audience at all.
True.
I don't know a lot of people who do their comics all digital.
I don't know anybody. I mean, like, I don't know many people that... I mean, digital comics are useful for some people. And, I mean, maybe I'm skewed because I actually sell the opposite.
Right.
But so many people come into the shop that people still enjoy a physical copy. They are plopping down money and they are getting a physical thing back for that physical money that they just put down. And I don't know, it just seems like that's what people enjoy. My big thing that I think that Marvel could do is cut, and I mean, this is going to piss off people, but they need to cut about a fourth of their titles, at least. Their catalog, if you just go into a comic book shop and ask to look at their preview section, just look at their Marvel's preview section, it's budging on an inch thick. For just Marvel books that you have to go through and order.
Yeah.
You know how long that shit takes us to go through? By the time I'm halfway through, I'm like, oh my God. Like, not that I don't give a shit, but like, I just want to be fucking done, you know?
Yeah. Yep. That's where it's at, man. That's the problem. And God bless DC for seeing Marvel being weak and just stepping up and being like, nah, we're going to come get this shit. Nah, Marvel, you going to leave it out there? Yeah, we're going to come get that money that you're leaving there for us. Like, that's what DC has done. And they've hired not just great comic writers by stealing the Tom Kings and the Sam Humphries of the world. They went out and just hired great fucking writers. I mean, Ben Percy on Green Arrow is a fucking genius move.
Yeah, absolutely. That's your jam.
Well, Percy was a novelist before. I mean, here's my not so uncomfortable segue. He just had a new novel come out today while cranking out 2 issues of Green Arrow a month.
That's not new for DC, though. They had...
Oh, shit, this is going to hurt my brain.
Back in the day, they did with N. Bennis, and it was a Justice League of America run. Fuck, I cannot think of the novelist, but they've pulled novelists before where it was just like, hey, you want to do a Justice League story? Where they did a version of where Solomon Grundy was reborn, but he was reborn with a brain. Like, he was actually the level of genius that you should be for living that many years. And it was a cool-ass story. It took Red Tornado, like, basically ripping him apart with his tornado powers in order to stop him, because that's all you could fucking do. When Grundy is just smacking the fucking taste out your mouth because you can't get away, and he's just like, I'm smarter than you, suck it. So,
oh well, dude, it's always fun when we have you here.
It's always fun to be here. I always love to come down.
One more thing.
Oh, yeah. You got another thing?
I got one more thing.
Put your penis away. Oh my god, hey. That cannot be the one more thing.
It's glorious.
You'd be surprised.
Absolutely. Lego encrusted.
So I read an article about people flying home from San Diego Comic-Con, yep. And the was it TSA making them take the books out of their carry-ons or something like that and check them? Like, how was your experience coming home? Was it nuts?
Okay, so I heard about this too, but here's the thing that we do. Okay, we go from, instead of going, the con goes from Wednesday is preview night to Sunday. That's when it's done. So most people get there Wednesday morning and fly out Monday morning. What we do, because we don't want to be insane the entire time, is we get there a day before, sit our asses by the pool, eat some amazing Mexican food, and just do nothing. Just sit and enjoy and see if we can catch up with any of our friends in San Diego. And then on Monday, we do the same thing. Like this year, like most of the years, we'll go to the San Diego Zoo and walk around. We walked a shit ton this weekend, so I was like, fuck that. So instead, there was a harbor cruise. It was a 2-hour harbor cruise where
you
could.
Been on that cruise.
Have you? Yeah,
yes,
it was.
I have.
For like $30 or $40. It was gorgeous. It was a really nice day to cap out the rest of our Comic-Con.
It's like Coronado Island. You go by the Air Force Base or all that stuff. Yeah.
Just sit around
great,
on your
great,
ass. And,
great little thing.
Yeah, absolutely. So instead of us flying out on Monday where there's the havoc and the chaos, we flew out Tuesday and we had zero words said to us. I carried all of my comic books. Dee and I both had comic books in our bag, like bricks of comic books in our bag. I had 20 vinyl albums because they had exclusive vinyls for sale there. I brought those in our carry-on. We had, I don't know, a 2-inch thick stack of posters that we had. We had poster tubes that were completely full. Really dense stuff that like probably was weird on the scanner. Nothing was said to us. Was not bothered at all. So I guess that's one takeaway from if you really want to go to San Diego. Bite the bullet, pay for the extra day of hotel, and just stay an extra day and avoid the chaos at the airport. Because it's way nicer to just sit there, do whatever you want, go see the zoo, go to Old Town, go to Coronado Island, go take a cruise. It's a gorgeous place to spend a day. You've got millions of things to do. So.
Coronado Island's like one of the richest places in the country. Like it's.
Can you get on mic? Can you get on mic?
It's just beautiful. I'm on mic.
You were like.
I'm talking in the general area. With
you're Stacy on mic. You were Stacy on mic.
Oh, now we're going. Now we're getting
insulting.
Now we're doing shots. Taking shots.
We started talking about California, and he got that gangsta lean.
I did.
He was like, bitches.
I mean, I got family out there. Whatever.
Bust a cap.
Busting caps in bitches.
That's right.
That's how we do. That's how you won't do, though, at Grand Rapids Comic Con.
Nope.
October 20th through the 22nd at the DeVos and the Amway Grand. Come out. See Gavin, see D, see Tardies. They will be right in the front of the merch room.
Come give me a hug. I'll be wearing a bandana, and I'm very huggable.
Dude, so huggable.
That's right.
Super huggable.
That's right.
But until then, I'm Drew.
I'm on mic.
What's
and
your
John.
Name? Bitch, what's your name?
And John.
Tell him your name, bitch.
It's Joe Nathan.
We're Court of Nerds.
Bye.
Do you like the sound of our voices more than we do? Well, make sure you listen to the podcast on thecourtofnerds.com. Also be our friends on Facebook because we need everyone we can get. And follow us on Twitter because occasionally we retweet fun stuff.